So earlier this week, while preparing for Yom Kippur, my laptop had a bit of a panic attack. Okay, that's not exactly true. I had a bit of a panic attack, not the laptop. But that was only because all of a sudden the laptop freaked out. Okay, maybe it was me freaking out a little, but that was because the laptop stopped working. It didn't freeze exactly, but it no longer allowed my cursor to move. The trackpad wasn't registering. The keyboard wasn't registering. When I scrolled down, the page I had been typing on went blank and then disappeared. All my work, my insightful comments and inspiring phrases, potentially the most brilliant sermon I had ever delivered, gone. Hence the panic and freaking out. When I regained my wits with the wise counsel of my wife, I slowed down and carefully closed down and saved everything that had been open on the desktop. I closed browser windows about the Akedah, the weather report for next week, rabbinic Facebook posts about October 7th, the temple calendar, two different email accounts, a page about birthday plans for Karen, shh, don't tell, and five other windows that were open. I closed four Word documents, three spreadsheets, two PowerPoints, and a partridge in a pear tree. I shut the computer off completely, probably for the first time in several weeks. I let it rest for a little while, and when I turned it back on, it was all better. The windows all reopened, the documents had been saved, the potentially brilliant sermon was still there. The poor computer had just gotten so overwhelmed with everything, much like Miss Eichel's students. There was so much going on, it just couldn't stand it anymore. So it stopped working till it could take a break and recharge and reboot and start again. Thankfully, the laptop is feeling much better, and so am I. But I think I understand how it felt at that moment when it got overwhelmed. Too many things going on. Too much out there that's demanding our attention, too much hard stuff that is happening, too much pulling our energy in too many different directions at once, too many heavy things, war and natural disasters and divisiveness and hatred. How do we stand it all? How do we withstand the constant and relentless flurry of, well, everything? Our Torah portion this morning talked about standing. Speaking to the entire community gathered to hear him speak, Moses says, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, you stand here this day, all of you. If you'll forgive the wordplay, our ancestors in the portion, the ones standing before Moses and God as they waited in to enter the promised land, they had withstood a great deal also. They had had a pretty rough time leading to that particular moment near the end of the book of Deuteronomy. They had fled Egyptian slavery. They had walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, made their way to Mount Sinai, built a golden calf and endured the consequences, almost made it to Israel but failed in their faith and weren't allowed to enter, and then were condemned to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They moved their camp 42 different times. They were attacked by other peoples. They fought their way through foreign lands. They finally arrived on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. They could see the promised land of Israel right there. And then they had to listen to Moses talk for the entire book of Deuteronomy, reminding them of their history and telling them what God had expected of them and laying out the laws and the precepts and the commandments. It was a lot by the time they were standing there that day. Now, we may not have had quite such a trying past 40 years, but the immediate past four haven't been exactly easy. I don't want to trigger anybody else's panic attack, but there's so much that has been built up. I arrived in Virginia four summers ago, a season of discontent in the midst of a global pandemic. We endured months and months of worrying about the COVID virus, completely upending the way people interacted with each other in our society. We had to change how we shopped, how we communicated, how we educated our children. As a temple, we had to reinvent how to become a community online for Shabbat and holidays, religious school and life cycle events. And then, once we returned in person, we had to reinvent things all over again. Last year, we finally had a normal high holiday season, though that came to a devastating conclusion with the October 7th attacks on the day of Simchat Torah. This past year has seen such turmoil from the resulting war, obviously in Israel and in Gaza and the whole Middle East, but in our own lives as well. We have grappled with our relationship with Israel, as I discussed last week. We have grappled with our neighbors and friends and classmates and coworkers and everyone else as they have grappled with current events. It's a lot to deal with, and it's exhausting. This has been particularly hard on our college students. The anti-Israel sentiment on campus has sometimes been coupled with a rise in anti-Semitism. From talking with our college kids, from talking with my college kid, from talking with Hillel professionals, I can only imagine how heavy, how all of this has been. Think about it. For the average Jewish college student, they wake up each day and they have to think, do I wear my Jewish star necklace or not? Do I wear it inside my clothes or visible? Can I wear my camp t-shirt or the sweatshirt for my teen trip to Israel with Hebrew on it? How do I navigate my way across campus if I don't want to run into encampments or demonstrators? What's being said on social media today? Is it accurate? Is it offensive? Is it about me? Who in my class today is there? And what do they think about Israel or about Jews or about me? Can I speak up in class? Who can I safely say something to and who will get into an argument with me? It's a lot to deal with, and it's exhausting. As a Jewish community, we've also been seeing reports of the alarming rise of anti-Semitism globally and here in the United States. A recent study by the Anti-Defamation League revealed that anti-Semitic incidences in the United States tripled in the last year. Over 10,000 instances, including assault and vandalism and harassment. This is happening on college campuses and major metropolitan areas, but also in small-town America, in urban and suburban areas, in public places and schools and neighborhoods. Union Station was vandalized with swastikas. Anti-Semitic flyers were left in the neighborhoods around Wolf Trap. I don't think there's a high school in our area that hasn't dealt with anti-Semitic graffiti of one kind or another. And I know one of our middle schools had to confront the situation with eighth grade boys in the back of a bus shouting, Heil Hitler. Even if we personally haven't been confronted by the anti-Semitic acts, just knowing that they are increasing in society around us is psychologically wearying and exhausting. And if all that wasn't enough, we are also facing unprecedented levels of polarization and political division. We are bombarded every day on the news, in the papers, on social media, and everywhere with messages that are designed to antagonize us and turn us one against the other. We are being forced to choose sides in political debates where understanding and empathizing with the other side is not only frowned upon, it is viewed as treasonous. People who think differently than you are no longer opponents, but enemies. It's no longer possible, it seems, to have an honest disagreement about how to see the world. It has become a life or death question of survival of our way of life. And the other side isn't just wrong. They're evil. So many seek not civil discourse, but an epic, high-stakes battle for civilization. All that rhetoric, all that divisiveness, all that acrimony, it's exhausting. Add to that the rise in intentional misinformation, the deliberate mischaracterization of a situation, and the spreading of alternative facts, which used to just be called lies. Couple that with conspiracy theories, and it's no wonder that trust in our institutions and in each other is eroding. In the worst possible combination of trends, there was news coverage the other day of the latest conspiracy theorist. Maybe you heard this. Apparently, Jews are able to control the weather. So we have sent hurricanes deliberately into specific counties and states, and then prevented relief supplies from reaching the affected areas, all in order to prevent people there from voting in the upcoming election. Well, let's see. That's anti-Semitism, political division, misinformation, mistrust, and conspiracy theories all rolled into one. This moment just feels like a lot. We feel overwhelmed by so many things, a never-ending barrage of forces that batter us from every side. Like my poor laptop, there is too much input without the chance to process any of it. We are buffeted about like one of those palm trees in a hurricane that you see on news reports wildly swaying in every direction. It is a wonder we are still standing. So with everything going on, everything coming at us, how do we withstand it all? I'll suggest three things we can do to help ourselves. The first is to stand down. That is to say, when you feel that it's all just too much, it is okay to take yourself out of the situations that are causing such feelings of being overwhelmed. You do not need to read every article about every aspect of anti-Semitism. You do not need to watch every reel or story or TikTok about Israel. You do not need to know every detail about the foibles of your political opponent. You do not need to delve into every rumor or conspiracy theory. Stand back from the fire hose of information that is available to each one of us with a few clicks or swipes on a screen. Limit your exposure to social media or on-screen sources. Disconnect from the 24/7 news cycle, if only for a little while. It'll all still be there when you get back. You might not even have noticed that you were gone. Instead, find something else to do, something that disengages you from the stressors of modern-day life and nurtures a sense of peace. Go for a hike, read a book, take an exercise class. Play around in the kitchen. You can call it cooking or baking if you want, but no pressure to produce anything tasty or masterful. Call an old friend or make a new one. Binge watch old TV shows or new ones. Go to a museum. Go to a friend's house. Sit and talk for an hour with a loved one or with your cat or with yourself. Give yourself the space you need to recharge. Unplugging, shutting down, recharging. It worked for my laptop. And in truth, it has worked for Judaism for thousands of years. It is called Shabbat. Stand down so you can get recharged and be ready to withstand everything once again. A second thing we can do, paradoxically, is to stand up. Stand up for something. Take a stand. When there is so much happening all around you in so many different directions, find something proactive to do. This changes the situation from everything happening to you being an agent of action. You can stand up and make a difference. It can be as simple as making a donation online to the Israel Religious Action Center, for example, or write a letter to the editor or a letter to your representative expressing your opinion. Attend a school board meeting or a county commission and speak your truth to the powers that be. Volunteer with the Board of Elections to help out at the polls and keep democracy functioning well. Go out to lunch with a friend who holds different political views and really listen to understand each other's opinions. Donate your time to an organization that provides snacks for hungry school kids or tutors students in math or brings health care to impoverished neighborhoods. Find something in this world that you can do something about and do it. Make a difference. Don't worry that your one action won't solve all of the world's problems, everything that is swirling around. Our sages taught, lo alecha hamlacha ligmor, you do not have to complete the task. V'lo ata ben chorin lehiba tel mimena, but you cannot desist from trying. Do something, standing up for something. All of this makes it easier for us to withstand everything brewing about us. One special note about a particular way of standing up, Isaiah mentioned it before, vote. If you are eligible, if you are able, you must vote. As our sign in the lobby says, it is a mitzvah to vote, both in the sense of it being a commandment and a good deed. Centuries ago, Rabbi Hillel taught, Al tifrosh min hatzibur, you must not separate yourself from the community. In our own time, Rabbi David Saperstein reminds us, someone is going to choose who our leaders will be. Someone will choose which policies get legislated. Someone will choose which values get translated into action. If you do not vote, that someone is someone else and not you. Temple B'nai Shalom is pledging to be a 100% voting congregation. And with great thanks to the work of the Tzedek Committee, we sent information to every member of the congregation, including our college students, about how to register to vote and how to vote in person or by mail. Who here is registered to vote? Who here has already voted? Who here is going to be voting for the very first time? We have a student there, a couple. Everyone else here, I hope, has a plan for when and where and how they will vote. We want to be a 100% voting congregation. That is one way for sure to stand up to everything that is swirling around us in our world today. So stand down when you need to recharge. Stand up to take a stand on something that is important to you where you can make a difference. The third thing that we do to withstand everything is to stand together. Atem nitzavim hayom kolchem. You stand here this day, all of you. When everything feels overwhelming, another solution is to stand together with others, to stand with the community. I do not think it is an accident that many Jewish communities around the country are reporting a surge in interest this past year, a growth in membership, an increase in the number of people looking for connection, prompted perhaps by the aftermath of October 7th and the rise in public anti-Semitism. Members of the Jewish community who had not been very engaged or very affiliated have been flocking to urban synagogues and suburban JCCs. Perhaps they're searching for Jewish identity or seeking others with common beliefs and ideals and heritage. Maybe they just want to feel part of something larger than themselves. I don't know if it's a part of the national trend or not, but here at TBS, we have seen growth in the sense of community. We regularly get 50 to 70 people at our monthly Tot Shabbat celebrations, sharing song and prayer and food and crafts with our littlest members of our community and their families. As you heard, we have 31 new students in our religious school this year, the largest consecration class in a decade or more, many from families who have just joined the congregation, and we are so pleased that they are with us. We have over 80 people of all generations signed up for pizza in the hut on the first night of Sukkot. That's going to be a lot of pizza. We are standing together as a community in joyful and meaningful Jewish living and learning. There is something validating and reassuring and grounding in being part of a community and standing with others. We also saw this just this past week as 600 people from a dozen different Northern Virginia Jewish congregations, including our own, gathered at Temple Road of Shalom to mark the anniversary of October 7th. Or even larger, the crowd of over 3,000 people from across Greater Washington assembled at the Anthem in D.C. for the same reason. Or more intimately, 25 of us came together in this very room to watch on the live screen the 3,000-person event. Regardless of the size or the venue, we felt stronger and more supported, more able to withstand the forces around us when we were together. This notion of supporting one another and standing together is not new to Judaism. It's embedded in our values, our traditions, even in our prayer book. The central section, one of the central sections of our liturgy, which we'll pray together in just a few minutes, is the vidui, the confessional section, asking God for forgiveness for what we have done wrong this past year. And nearly all of it is phrased in the plural. We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have gone astray. The Hebrew verbs are all plural as we say them, admitting to sins we may not personally have committed, but taking responsibility together, standing together. It is important to note in our world today, we are not standing alone. We have partners, allies, friends who are standing with us in this whirlwind. In the weeks after October 7th, I exchanged emails with the leadership of ATFA, a local Muslim community group. We've held joint programs and interfaith dialogues with them in previous years, and they just a little while ago invited us in email to a multi-faith, multi-group early Thanksgiving celebration this November as a sign of friendship and community. I know we will fill our allotment of tables at that event. And speaking of Thanksgiving, I have a line later on. I wasn't supposed to be here. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we have no better friend. No better friend in our communities to stand with us than our family at Abiding Presence Lutheran Church. Pastor Keasley was here in the sanctuary with us on October 7th, on the Shabbat right after. You know of our joint education classes and our Thanksgiving Eve services. What you might not know is a story I'll share with you if I can get it out. This is where I wrote, I'll have trouble telling this, because it symbolizes so greatly the power of standing together. Abiding Presence runs a number of summer camp opportunities staffed by 25 of their college students who come home each summer to work at this camp for the church. And in addition to serving as staff for all their different week-long camps, including, by the way, our fantastic joint musical theater camp, which produced a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat together, in addition to serving as staff, these college students meet weekly with their pastors for spiritual development. And Pastor Keasley and Pastor Kress invited me to be the guest speaker one week. They wanted me to talk with their college students about modern anti-Semitism and what has been happening this year on college campuses. They wanted me to share with them how those students, how they could be good and supportive allies to their Jewish friends on campus. After this terrible year with everything going on, they wanted to know how best to stand with us. That's the message from the book of Deuteronomy. That's the passage we read this morning. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. You stand here today, all of you, friends and allies, community members, every one of us, we stand together. It is easy these days to feel overwhelmed, to look at everything going on in the world around us and to wonder how can we endure it all. Sometimes the best thing we can do is to stand down, to take a break, to recharge. Sometimes we stand up and stand more firmly when we stand for something, when we take action and make a difference. And most assuredly, we stand more confidently, more strongly, more proudly when we stand together with resilience and with hope. May God grant us all the ability to withstand whatever this year ahead may be, so that it becomes for each one of us a good new year for us all. May we be signed and sealed for goodness. Ken Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will. As together we say, Amen. Amen.